Welcome to Light in the Darkness.
Off-topic episodes are a sub-series within the greater Light in the Darkness podcast, where Daniel and I have a chance to have conversation that strays away from our normal supernatural and paranormal fare. These are our day-in and day-out conversations. The only difference is this time we set up the microphones and we're recording it so you can take a listen.
So consider yourself invited to the digital campfire, if you will. The microphones are on, the coffee's hot, the cucumber water's cold, and the chairs, well, they've started to change.
They are approaching, merely approaching the realm of comfortability.
That is true, Corey, because does this thing swivel?
No swiveling.
Does this thing have side bolstering, lumbar support? Is it heated? No
will reclining. We get
there? Reclining, a footrest, that bit that goes under the thighs that raises. I could go on, but my point is this.
They're upgrading.
Yeah. Look, we got nowhere to go but up from here, as I've
merely just listed. You started from the bottom.
What he's trying to say is started from the bottom, now we're here. And we started from the bottom. And the whole team's not quite here yet because we've only got one of these new chairs, but the rest of the team's on the way.
Moving on up.
Moving on up. And we shan't sing anymore because we really don't know that much about the copyright type stuff. But we figure, hey.
To the big time. Deluxe apartment. In the sky.
Moving on up. Yeah, so we figure if we put words in between each one, technically they don't count
pause,
as consecutive lines.
Maybe we can get away with it, right?
I feel safe.
Totally.
Okay, this is good.
We're small potatoes anyway.
Potatoes.
You know what? I was just thinking yesterday about fingerling potatoes. Those sound absolutely delicious right about now. Take them, toss them in a little bit of oil, maybe some herbs, salt and pepper, throw them in the oven, roast them until they're delicious and crunchy.
Why aren't they in our lives more?
I don't know.
I like them.
They are delectable, but nobody ever thinks about them when they think about potatoes.
They're not hard to cook.
They're not
hard to come by.
They're not. You know what else is not hard to come by?
I can't say
whatsoever?
That I do. No, what? What do you got?
Well, I see one. Literally.
A white guy?
Well, that's
too. One too. How about that?
Two pasty white guys sitting at a table. No, I was talking about the sticker on the back of your laptop.
I thought you were talking about the sticker on the back of your laptop.
Maybe I'm talking about the sticker on the back of both of our laptops.
Could you be talking about the sticker on my water bottle?
No, I'm talking about the sticker on my water bottle, Danny boy.
Did you enjoy that as much as we did? I hope so.
I doubt it. We got stickers on stickers on stickers on stickers. And you, dear listener, could have a sticker of your very own by going to litdpod.com/support or by clicking the support the show link down in the show notes, giving a donation of absolutely any amount. And we will send a beautiful, lovely Light in the Darkness sticker to your front or back, if that's where the mailman brings it.
That's fair.
That's between you and him.
That's fair.
Door.
Core, random question just rising up in me right now. What if they want five specifically?
I don't know if we've ever discussed five.
Yeah,
I
mean, just throwing it out
seems
there.
A little excessive.
But it does.
I guess you could put it on other people's property.
With their permission, I think is what you're getting at. Okay.
Well, you can give a donation of $50 or more, and you will get five, count it, five, count it, five, count it, five, count it, five, Light in the Darkness stickers. That was five.
Wasn't it?
Go back and count again.
Okay.
Five, count it, five, count it, five, count it, five, count it, five.
I was confident
stickers.
That.
Oh. And we'll get you that pack so that you can tell all of your friends about the Light in the Darkness podcast. In fact, some might say that you might be doing for the Light in the Darkness podcast what we're talking about here tonight, only we're talking about doing it for Jesus. And that'll be tonight's topic.
Witnessing.
I love our smooth off-topic transitions.
It feels good. It feels right.
I mean, maybe it's a little forced here and there, but...
Who said that? Give me a name.
There's a look in his eyes right now. You guys cannot see him, but there is danger across the table from me.
I want to dial it down. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes, please.
I don't know where that came from.
I think there's a deep-seated rage in there that, Yep. That,
This goes back to that time I was made to eat fish sticks as a kid.
You don't like fish sticks?
I didn't then. My taste buds have changed.
That's a conversation for another time. Right now we're talking about witnessing. We will talk about fish sticks at a later time.
If you had witnessed me eating the fish sticks,
were they microwaved, baked, fried? What was the preparation of these fish sticks?
Actually,
it does make a difference.
It does, and I want you to tell me what you think it was.
I imagine they were microwaved, you poor sap.
They were baked.
Well, then I don't know what the complaint is. Anyway, moving on.
I was a child, and I didn't understand. And now I'm a grown man.
What's not to understand? It's a stick of fish, Daniel.
I trust the Gorton's fishermen, it's and they were store brand.
Oh, dear. I don't want these great values. I shall be a pretentious seven-year-old.
Dog, even though you're throwing shade, let me tell you something.
I'll be watching Blue's Clues on the veranda. I'll wait.
Even though you're still throwing shade, that was not a fish. You tell me what part of the fish the stick comes from.
That's the knee.
Of course. Oh, the liver and gizzards of the fish. Oh, sweet Lord. We should move on.
Dear me. First Waffle House, now fish sticks. Our off topics are getting more off topic-y by the moment.
It's in the name. And remember, you clicked it.
You clicked it. So, Daniel.
Yes.
This is a topic that you felt the Lord raise up in your little spirit man in there.
He did do that.
So why don't you start to unpack for us some of the thoughts you had on witnessing?
Yeah, cool. Happy to. It's something we do as believers. We do it a couple of different ways, but the big thing is sharing the gospel. Talking about who Jesus is, and, you know, it just hit me today. At this point in my life, I do it more than I ever have, but I do it so differently than I ever thought I would have. Now, witnessing in general is just, you know, just talking about Jesus, in my opinion. Typically, the goal is to lead someone to Christ. Like, that's it. That's the cherry on the cake. But I have found myself in multiple scenarios where, okay, I got to till the ground a little bit. I may have got to drop a seed in there. And even sometimes, I'm the one who gets to water it. And sometimes you even get to see it bloom. And that is the sweetest. But don't be afraid to just be one of those things in the process. I guess for me, that's how I view it. As a kid, I always just thought it was getting someone saved. And that was it. Witnessing is getting someone to say the sinner's prayer. Good job. It's over. Done deal. But especially as an adult, I've found sometimes it's not a 30-second exchange. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's months of working with someone and just being you. Honestly, shameless plug, you're a light in the darkness. You're that thing that's different in the room, and it's not you, it's Jesus inside of you, but people pick up that something's different. Hey everybody, this is Daniel from Light in the Darkness Podcast. Well, it's been a year and a half now, and we just wanted to say thanks. Really do appreciate you guys. I got a button. It's lighting up. Hey, Core? Core, you want to look at this? It's more the tech guy. All right. I'm going to hit it so it'll stop. You know what? I know what this is. I know why he's not here. He's out in the field. Which means I have to start up this antiquated equipment. Well, guys, I don't know what Corey's about to tell you, but he is in the field somewhere. And let me see if I can start this bad boy up and hear what he's got to say. I think it's a pull start. Yeah. It's been a while. Should be working out. Oh, a choke. Yeah, run, baby. All right. Speaking of run. I'm going to go open a window so I don't get high off these gas fumes. And let's see if this thing can still do its job and send you out the core. Here he is!
And folks, I've got late breaking news. Corey and Daniel have been working hard over this past year and a half to faithfully bring you amazing content on Light in the Darkness, and they have now made the decision to launch a Patreon channel. This will give you, the listener, an opportunity to subscribe with a monthly fee so that you can support the show. Now, what's in it for you may be asking, and that is a delightful, wonderful, and wise question. Well, while the boys have many thoughts and ideas that would be very fun for their members, one thing they will be promising you is periodic members-only content, the first episode of which will be releasing on May the 1st, 2024. This episode will be a wonderful roundtable with two of your favorite former guests, Vicky Joy Anderson and Dark Waters James Williams, where they will be discussing with the boys the topic of spiritual warfare. And dear listener, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to get involved, but I simply must be running. I am going to pass it back to Daniel in the studio.
Oh, good. I got to shut this thing off. Man, tell you what, gas fumes will do it to you. But anyway, guys, if I think I heard that correctly, this is live now. Go sign up. First episode drops May 1st. You're going to love it. How do you sign up, you say? Well, you go to patreon.com/LITDpod. Too much? Thought so. It's down in the show notes. We made it nice and easy for you. We love you guys. And until next time, take care, y'all.
And I think that one of the things that makes this topic a little bit, I don't know, there's a taste associated with it. Like when you grow up in the church, like there's a certain like taste in your mouth when it comes to like the idea of witnessing. I'm not going to even say it's a bad taste, but there's a taste. And I think a lot of the times it's because people that are passionate about this topic are typically the ones that are more evangelistically minded and are the kind of people who have the personality and the strength set to just go up and get people saved at the Walmart or the Piggly Wiggly, just talking over sale meats. I don't know. And it's like somehow they turn that into, oh, that's a leg of lamb you got there. You know who else was a lamb?
Bum, bum, bum.
And then all of a sudden, and you have revival breakout in the Piggly Wiggly because Pastor so-and-so walked in and shared the gospel with them. And that's amazing. And that is a absolutely wonderful gift from God. But I don't necessarily know that that gift is on each of us.
Yeah. And I know exactly who you're talking about. I went to a church where it was like every Sunday. And this is not the church I currently go to, but one in the past where the same guy got up. And he wanted to talk about how he had got somebody saved that week. Now, let me be the first to tell you, it never got old. Because sometimes he'd be like, I brought them here. There they are. And that's awesome. But you do hear the grumbles of like, here we go again. And it's kind of one of those, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Homeboy is excited that he led somebody to Jesus. And I get the whole like, oh, he's got to bring it up again. Well, you know what? Let me tell you, nobody in that place is more excited than the person he brought, because they bought what he was selling. And I was one of those people that would grumble when he would get up and take a mic. I'd be the one to go, here we go. You know, another teenager in the pew, just like, we're going to talk about somebody getting saved. Whereas now, at the place where I work, one of the things we send out is called a salvation kit. And it's when somebody calls in to one of the ministries we represent and they accept Christ and they get a Bible and they get a packet to encourage them in their new walk with Christ. Now, whenever I see this, I show everyone in the warehouse. I remember one day I walked over from my department bringing a Bible to Corey going, look, this is a very special Bible on the shelf. And when it moves, it means somebody found Jesus. Like, dude, this is why we do what we do.
And I remember like Megan, just recently, my wife, Megan, Easter came up and she said, Corey, what's your favorite Easter memory? Like, what was the best Easter you ever had? And I stopped for a moment because my family didn't really celebrate Easter a ton growing up. You know, just like,
really?
We didn't celebrate many holidays very much. Oh, like, well, we would have a meal, but there wasn't a ton beyond that going on. So I had to stop for a second and think. And I was like, you know, I think my best Easter memory was like, back in my hometown, being on staff at my church, I had spent like the whole night leading up to Easter. So I at the church working, doing painting and getting things ready and doing the final touches on a video, stuff like that. And, you know, you go into this Easter service with no sleep. And then the altar call happens. After all the stuff that I worked on had been implemented, they got to see the nice stage. They got to watch the video. They got to do all that. And then the pastor leads the call for salvation and like 19 people raise their hands.
Wow. Praise God, man.
And it's like, that's the best Easter I think I ever had a part in. And what's significant about that is that those people were being witnessed to from the moment they walked in the door, even with people who weren't presenting the gospel.
Yeah.
They were still witnessing.
So when we first started talking about this, I just got thrown into the Holy Ghost time machine by the Lord. And I shared the story with you already, but I'll share it with the listeners. And then you have a sweet scripture that pairs up with it. I used to work at UPS. And while I was there, I had a really, really fascinating human being working across from me named Kevin. And he was just the nicest guy in the world, but he was just not a man of faith. And he picked up real quick that yours truly was. And there was a difference of opinion on a lot of things. But the cool thing was, like we were talking about before, over the course of the 3 years I worked there, Kevin worked there for two of those years, right across from me every day for 6 hours. And when you work across from someone that much for that amount of time, conversation happens. When I first met Kevin, when I would sneeze, he would say, "Your God bless you," just to let you know. Yeah. Because at first I won't say what he started to say immediately at first. And he could tell that it rubbed me the wrong way. And he's like, "Hey, I'm just kidding. You know, your God bless you." So we won't say what he initially first said, but from there it went to this as the next step. But we had a lot of good conversations, and I got to pray with him about stuff. There were a couple times he needed rides, and, you know, go figure. I knew the Christian would give me a ride home, you know, or to this place I needed to go. A lot of people there knew I would do that. And there were a lot of good other Christian people there too, but I say all that to say this. Close to the end before he moved, even though it may not seem like a lot to other people, I just remember one day when I sneezed and Kevin looked at me and he said, "God bless you." It wasn't a year of God. It wasn't the other thing. And I knew in that moment, I didn't get to say the sinner's prayer with him, but I understood I did something. And it really wasn't me doing anything, but God did something through me in just being there, being present, not judging the guy, loving the guy, helping the guy when I could. And walking through life beside this other human being, and all the while, again, shameless plug, but being a light in a dark world. And he took note of that. And I got to witness change.
And I think that one of the things that is challenging when we think about witnessing is we imagine it has to involve that sinner's prayer. And we have to recognize that we aren't responsible for doing more than it is our part to play in this scenario, in this person's life. So what you did was you witnessed by living life. And this is the scripture that when you shared that story came to mind. It's 1 Corinthians 3:6. And it's Paul talking. He said, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow." And your role in his life, you may have been the first person to sow any kind of a seed that Christians are more than just self-righteous windbags.
Yeah.
Maybe you're the first person that sowed a seed in his life to say, you know, Christians, maybe they have something that I don't have. And you don't see that, but you planted the seed. And then he's going to go on in his life and God's going to be able to bring other people into his life that bring the water. But ultimately, it's the Lord that brings the growth.
Yeah. And I mean, even continuing with that a little bit, we would go eat places as a group sometimes on Fridays after we got paid. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. We would go, we would fellowship. But it was funny because there for a time we didn't pray before we ate. But then there came a time as a group where more often than not, we would pray. And certain individuals of us would be asked to pray over the meal. And when you see changes like that, you know, you can't always put words to them. But you just know that God's up to something. And it's cool because he's letting you be a part of it. And most of the time, we don't even realize we're doing it when it's happening. We're just following the lead of the Spirit. A lot of times, witnessing is just going about everyday life, walking in love, and just emanating Christ to the best of your ability. Whether you're in line at the bank or the car wash or, you know, just sometimes it's just being the difference. And you can see it on people's faces when it hits them.
There's a quote that makes its circles around Christendom, and it's attributed to Francis of Assisi, and there's debate over actually if he ever said it, but it doesn't matter because it doesn't take away from the truth of the statement. And it's preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. And just by living life in a way that shines Christ, you, my dear friends, you, my dear listeners, are witnessing just by a life lived. And this is a point that my pastor, who's been on the podcast not thrice, but what would be the quadruple equivalent of thrice?
Quarice.
Quarice.
Quarce.
Quarce.
Oh, course.
Pastor course. Gil Dearman. Uncle Pastor Gil. One of the things that I've often heard him say when he teaches on subjects like this is we get intimidated by the concept of witnessing because we can get into the mindset of, well, what if they ask me a Bible question I don't know? Or what if they have a deep theological debate or something like that, that like, this is the one thing that's been holding them back from meeting Jesus, and I don't have the right answer. And one of the things Uncle Pastor Gil always mentions is, you know, a witness, that word there in the Greek actually has like a legal or historic context. And what a witness does in court is they walk in and all they get to share is what they have seen. If they start talking about something that someone else told them, that's hearsay and it has to be thrown out. When we're witnessing, our job is to share what we have experienced. And there's nobody in your life who can witness to what Jesus has done in your life better than you can, dear listener.
This can be intimidating if you look at it through the wrong lens, or even the right lens, quite frankly, because this is eternity we're talking about here. Witnessing is a huge part of your Christian walk. Because the end goal as believers is, yeah, I want my fire insurance, I want to go, but how many people can I get to go with me? How many people can I impact with the love of Christ? Because there's only one way. Jesus is the way. John 14:6, he's the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to him except through the Father. If we can get that point across to as many people as possible, well, job well done. I found myself as, I think I was 16, in my grandparents' carport. It was a cool night because whenever it's cold outside, me and Poppy like to go out and just stand in the carport. And we talk about three things every time. We talk about cars. We talk about guns. There was a time we talked about UPS, but ultimately the bulk of the conversation always comes back to Christ. And I remember at that age, I had realized I liked the taste of beer. I had also realized I had grown slightly fond of cigarettes. And I just remember I talked to him about that out in the carport that night. And I was like, Poppy, will I go to hell for this? And he said, no, son, you're not going to go to hell for that. And he said, but let me give you something different to think about. Let me give you something bigger to think about. Do you think it would hurt your witness? He said, do you think if the same people that saw you stand on stage at church and sing and lead worship or help out at youth events or just sitting in the pew, you know, saw you just at a bar somewhere, you know, sipping on a beer or standing outside smoking a cigarette. He said, I'm not telling you how to feel and I'm not telling you what to believe. He said, I'm just telling you to take that to the Lord and I want you to ponder on that. And he said, and you'll know the answer to this. He said, I'm not giving you the answer on this. The Holy Spirit will answer that for you and you'll feel that inside and you'll know. But it created this idea of protecting my witness. I'd never thought that before. I'd never thought that that was important, that that's something I should steward. And it's not for the sake of holier than thou. It's not for the sake of, you know, oh, I'm super holy and righteous. It's like, I don't want anything on God's green earth to get in the way of me being able to tell someone else about his son Jesus and what he did for me. And if it does get in the way, it's a problem. And there's a whole list of things that could be. And I'm not saying this to convict you, listener. I'm just telling you, just what happened to me in that carport, let that happen to you. Steward your witnessing ability. Steward your witness. Make sure nothing's in the way of it. You want it to be as powerful as possible.
And just like so many of the things that we advocate here on the podcast, it all comes back to your relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He leads us into all truth. Even if that truth stings, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's hard, he leads us into all truth. So when you come to some of those things that you think might be damaging your witness, don't just rashly make a decision. Bring it to him. Talk to him. It's all about relationship instead of religion, guys. Bring it to Holy Spirit. So I guess if you are talking about witnessing and whether that is in the one-on-one conversation context or if it's just by living your life and loving people well, and that goes deeper than just words, that goes into actions, that goes into so many aspects. Everything we do in this life is witnessing because we're called to be the light in the darkness. And if we aren't shining in the darkness, how will people ever see the truth of the light of the gospel?
Amen, bro. So guys, I'm going to leave you with this scripture and then we'll wrap it up. Romans 10:11-15. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one who they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for joining us again. Chew on it, marinate on it, you know the drill. And until next time, take care, y'all.